Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Donald Perkins will continue his verse-by-verse study of the book of Revelation. Each year, we produce a calendar to raise funds for our Onesimus Prison Ministry. This special ministry provides Bibles, prayer, and encouragement to prisoners across the country. This year, our calendar theme is Beyond the Veil. Created by Marginal Mysteries host Micah Van Hus, the Beyond the Veil 2026 calendar includes stunning imagery, a guide for reading through the Bible in a year, the major Jewish holidays, and Get One, Give Two. That means each calendar ordered provides two free calendars for incarcerated folks through our Onesimus Prison Ministry. This calendar with its one-of-a-kind images is perfect for daily encouragement, Bible study inspiration, or as a meaningful gift. Order your Beyond the Veil calendar today. Call 800-652-1144. That's 800-652-1144. You can also order the calendar on our website, swrc.com. This year's calendar is truly one that you don't want to miss out on. 800-652-1144. Time to get your Bibles out and open to the book of Revelation. Here's teacher Donald Perkins as he continues with the series, Understanding Revelation.
You can understand the book of Revelation. Now, last time I was with you, we were literally looking at the sun-clothed woman. We were looking at the identification of who she was. We found out that this sun-clothed woman represented none other than the nation of Israel. Again, we talked about there are many views that people have taught in reference to who she is. Some believe that this sun-clothed woman was Mother Mary. This could not be Mother Mary. And again, we're going to talk to you a little bit more in reference to that. And then we also close up looking at the travail of this woman. Revelation 12 talks about this sun-clothed woman. She's in travail. She's about to deliver a child. And we're going to deal with that today. But I want to reiterate something that we said last week. And again, this is going to help us to understand Revelation chapter 11, chapter 12, 13, and 14. These chapters are considered parenthetical chapters. I would like to say that. These are chapters that are in parentheses. They're giving us a little more information as to what is happening during the time of the Great Tribulation. I said before, it's like putting a little bit extra meat on the bone. Now, here's one other thing that I want to give you, too, in reference to understanding, especially chapter 12. Chapter 12 has a lot of symbols that actually have literal meanings, and we're going to see that. But we must understand this, that the tribulation is a different dispensation. And what I mean by that, it's a period of time. A dispensation is a system or order of government or organization of a nation, community, etc., especially as existing at a particular time. Now, a dispensation is a period of time. In other words, it is a certain event that is happening at a certain time. And we're going to see here that this event of the sun-clothed woman is happening at a particular time in the window or season of the Great Tribulation. Now, if you pull things into this event outside of the tribulation, then you're going to have problems with the interpretation of this. Now, last time we closed up looking at her in travail, and I want to close a little bit more on that, and then we're going to move on and look at the man-child, the child that she's going to deliver. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pick up again at Revelation chapter 12, verse number 2. John wrote, "And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered." We established the fact that this sun-clothed woman represents the nation of Israel as a whole. Here, the Bible says that this woman or this nation of Israel at this particular time, she will be in travail like a woman in travail about to deliver a baby. here we're going to see that this nation of Israel finds herself in a time of turmoil. And again, I'm going to give you some other scriptures that's going to really, really help us here. But she's going to be in this travail. And again, this travail is going to be very, very painful as any other woman is in travail. Now, what I want to do, I want to go back to a scripture, a few scriptures found in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 through 18. And here, Jesus alluded to the travail of Israel. In other words, he's going to talk about Israel in this time of travail. One other thing, this chapter 12, again, finds us at the midpoint or halfway into the seven-year tribulation. So I want to pick up here at Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read the text. I'm going to start at verse 15. Jesus said, when ye, talking to his Jewish brothers too, he said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, Jesus said, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judah flee into the mountains, and let him which be on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Now, again, Jesus is giving the account. This is right after he talks to his disciples in regards to the signs of the times. He's giving them indicators that will point to his return. Well, when he gets to chapter 24, verse 15, he literally goes into the event of the Great Tribulation. And here he's at the midpoint talking here. I'm going to pick up at verse number 19. Jesus said, and woe, woe means curse be unto, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, but pray that your flight or your travel be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Listen at this. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Here, Jesus is talking about the time when Israel as a nation goes into deep travail. She's having those birth pains. She's going into travail. This is at the midpoint of the tribulation. This is also when the Antichrist desecrate the Jewish altars. He will put some unholy thing upon in the temple. At this time, the Jew will have to flee. They're going to have to run for their lives. He tells them, don't go into your house to get anything. It's time to flee to the mountains. Again, this is actually referring to chapter 12, Revelation, verse number 2, when she's in travail. Now, I want to give you another passage here found in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 7. And Jeremiah wrote, he said, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble or Israel's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Again, this passage also alludes to the travail of the woman, Israel in travail. She's in travail. Now, we're going to see some amazing things as we look at this particular text. We're going to see some amazing things as we go further to look at this unclothed woman. So I want to move us further, and we're going to now look at her delivering her man-child. We're going to actually see the identification of who this man-child is. So what I want to do, I want to start here at Revelation chapter 12. We're going to pick up here at verse number 3, and I'm going to go on until we look at the part in reference to this man-child, and then we're going to begin to break down and find out who this man-child represents. So verse 3 of chapter 12, Revelation, John wrote, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, we're going to talk about that 7-headed red dragon as this study progresses. We're going to find out who he is. I'll tell you already, it represents the devil. We're going to find out more about it. But the 7 heads and the 10 horns and the 7 crowns, they represent something. We're going to see that. Now, we're going to pick up at verse number 4. John wrote, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there, listen at this, for 1,260 days, or 1,260 days. So again, we know that this is at the mid part of the tribulation, when Israel is in travail. But the Bible says at the midpoint of this tribulation, the nation of Israel will go into much travail. She's about to deliver this man child. And again, we're going to see what this man child represents. Now, we do know that the total 7-year tribulation, it lasts for 7 years. But at the midpoint of this, 3.5 years into the midpoint, is where the birth pains really happen. And I alluded to the fact earlier that this is where the Antichrist, you know, he's going to turn against the covenant that he made with Israel. He's going to desecrate the Jewish altars. He will go into the temple and claim to be God. And the scripture even tells us that when he goes in, he will literally be worshiped as God. But this, when he does that, the Jewish people have to flee at that time, and this is going to call much, much anguish upon the children of Israel, to the point at this time where she now is about to deliver a man child. Now, I want to bring in our prophecy chart again, and you'll see here, we're going to focus right here at the time of the tribulation. I'm bringing those arrows in, and it's going to show you right at the focal point of where this happens. Now, again, I must reiterate again, because we're about to see something that's going to be a little bit different than what we've been taught in the past. We're going to see that this sun-clothed woman event, this man-child event, is happening in a certain dispensation. And this is the dispensation of the Great Tribulation, or the dispensation of the time of the wrath of God in the earth. It's a dispensation where the Antichrist is going to be. And again, this is going to be key in helping us to understand this. Now, there are many views given as to who this man-child represents. I will give you a few of these views, and again, I'm going to give you a few of them, some of the ones that are commonly taught out there. And again, there are a lot of different views. Some of these views may be shocking to you. Now, I'm going to quote these views here from the book Revelation Expounded by Dr. Finnis Dakes. And again, I'm just going to give you a number of these views that are being taught out there. Okay. One of the first views in reference to the man-child, again, which is a false view, is that this man-child represents the true church. Listen at this. It is believed by some that the church is the man-child, and the professing Christians are the woman. It is expected that the church will be caught up out of the mass of Christian profession, who will be left here to go into the wilderness, because the majority of Christendom are not in the church, and therefore not ready to go up in the rapture. This argument is no proof that the church is symbolized as the man-child, and the mass of Christian profession is the woman. Again, this is a weird view to me, that some believe that the man-child represent the true church. One good example to know that this is not the church. The church will be raptured before the Great Tribulation. We won't be here. I've mentioned many times that the Great Tribulation, it is a prophecy that's tied to Daniel's 70 weeks. This is an Old Testament prophecy that was exclusive toward the house of Israel, toward Jerusalem, toward Daniel's people. When Daniel received that prophecy of the 70-week prophecy, the church was not even around. As a matter of fact, the church is a mystery. The church is a mystery even to the Old Testament prophets. The Old Testament prophets didn't see the church. To put the church here is to get out of dispensational accuracy. So to call the church, the true church, the man-child, I believe is erroneous. And again, that's what Dr. Dakes also talked about. Now, here's another view that he talked about that, again, is a false view. And I agree with him on this. And listen, this is weird. This view teaches that the bride part of the church is the man-child. Now, think about it. The bride part of the church is the man-child. Weird theology. Listen at this. This theory teaches that the man-child represents the bride part of the church, and that the bride of Christ is not the church, but merely a selected company of believers, known better as full overcomers out of the church. Again, this is a weird view just makes no sense. We are the bride. The church is the bride. I mean, the Bible says that we are the bride of Christ. Listen, again, one of those false teaching, one of those false views that are being taught out there in regards to the bride. Now, again, I want to reiterate timing, dispensation. When is this event happening? This sun-clothed woman delivering the man-child is during the time of the Great Tribulation. You got to keep it in context to get a full understanding of the interpretation. Now, he gives us another false view, and listen at this one. This one is amazing. This just blew me away. Again, I'm quoting from Finnish Dake book, Revelation Expounded. Number three, he said this. Here's another false view. It says, the Holy Spirit baptized people as the man-child. Listen at this. This theory teaches that the man-child represents only those Christians who have received the baptism of the Spirit, and that all other Christians compose the woman and the remnant who are left after the rapture to go through the tribulation. The attempted proof is found in the parables of the ten virgins. Again, misinterpretation of Scripture. This is not the man-child. The baptizing of the church here, the Holy Spirit baptized, is not the man-child. It makes no sense. It does not follow scripture accuracy. Again, this is not a good interpretation. And again, we need to know that. And the reason why I'm giving you this, because there are a lot of views out there that is just out there, and they are wacky views. And again, they actually absolutely make no sense. Now, here's another view that he gives. This view is commonly taught among many scholars today. As a matter of fact, I've read this view many times. When I first started studying the prophecy, this was one of the views that I actually heard. Now, this is going to be a little controversial because I know this view, many of you probably believe now, but I want you to hang with me because as we go through this study, I believe the scripture is going to be very, very clear as to who the man-child is. But listen at this view. This view is another view. It's called the man-child is Jesus Christ. Or in other words, when Israel is delivered, when Israel delivers this child, this man-child represents Jesus Christ. Now, listen at this. This theory destroys the plain conservative order of the book, disregards the natural division, and inserts, listen at this, historical events in this plain prophecy. It has been abundantly proven that we are dealing with the things in the middle of the week or the middle of the tribulation, and that all of Revelation chapters 4 through 22 takes place after the church age. So in other words, in the book of Revelation from chapters 4 through 22 are things in the future. Now again, and this may shock some of you, I hold to a different view in reference to who the man-child is. I believe the scripture is going to show us this. I want you to hang with me. I believe the man-child represents the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will be a part of this event in Revelation chapter 7 when they first are sealed, and then also Revelation chapter 14. Now, I want you to hang with me. Stay tuned. Don't turn the TV off. I want you to hang with me as we allow the scriptures to give us some understanding. Now, the plain statement concerning the woman and the man-child cannot possibly be harmonized with the lives and times of Christ and the Virgin Mary. Therefore, we conclude that this theory is out of harmony with the intended thought of the prophecy and has no part of the things which must come to pass shortly. Now, I really like that statement because this time is in the Great Tribulation. Listen, this man-child cannot represent Jesus. And I'm going to give you some other reason why I believe that. It cannot be Jesus because at this time, Jesus is not being delivered. We also proved last week that this sun-clothed woman was not Mother Mary. Mother Mary was the one who delivered Christ. She was the one who delivered Jesus. In chapter 12, in the middle part of the tribulation, Jesus Christ is not being delivered. Now, I want you to hang with me because I know I'm pushing against things that we've been taught. But I think the scripture is going to give us some clear understanding that's going to help us. Now, again, many scholars have held to this view. So I'm going to give you some of the scholars that I love and respect very dearly. They actually hold to this view that this is Jesus Christ. So I'm going to quote a few of them. Jack Van Impe, I love Dr. Van Impe. From his book, Revelation Revealed, he said this. Verse 2, he said, "And she, being with child, cried travailing in birth and pain to be delivered." He said, "Here we have the mother Israel bringing forth a man child who is none other than the blessed Lord Jesus Christ." Now, it seems that should be the case. But again, I think we got to constantly look at the dispensation as to what is happening at this event. I don't believe that this is Jesus being delivered, but I'm going to give you a few more. Here's another one. One of my favorite scholars here, Dr. John Walvoord, from his book Revelation. Listen to what he said. He said, "Many explanations have been offered for the identity of this woman. She does not represent Christ, nor the church in general, because the church did not give birth to Christ. On the contrary, Christ gave birth to the church."
Donald Perkins will return on our next program to continue his teaching series on the book of Revelation. To enhance and grow your understanding of Revelation, we have several resources for you today. First, the book, No Uncertain Future, a study guide commentary of Revelation by Dr. Larry Spargimino. The DVD, Revealing Revelation by J.R. Church, and Noah Hutchings' classic book, Revelation for Today. All three of these resources are available today when you call 800-652-1144. That's 800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. No Uncertain Future, Revealing Revelation, and Revelation for Today. 800-652-1144. Donald Perkins' series, Understanding the Book of Revelation, is also available. This 24 DVD set contains all 71 lessons going verse by verse studying the book of Revelation. Order Understanding the Book of Revelation DVD series by Donald Perkins today. Simply call 800-652-1144 or you can order at swrc.com. This study is an excellent resource for churches, Sunday school classes, small group studies, homeschool Bible classes. 71 lessons on 24 DVDs. Understanding the Book of Revelation. 800-652-1144. Is the recent Israel-Hamas peace agreement in Bible prophecy? Josh Davis examines this important question in today's Moment of Prophecy.
Israel and Hamas agreed to President Trump's peace plan, and for the first time in 2 years, the warm embrace of family was felt by the 20 hostages released by Hamas. Cheers filled Israel as these men returned home, signaling the end of this war with Hamas. And while we understand those facts, there are questions about the biblical prophetic significance of this war. Now, some people have suggested that it could be the fulfillment of Daniel 9:27. However, that view ignores the complete context of this passage of Scripture. Now, let me show you, first of all, Daniel 9:27, this covenant agreement is with the Antichrist and Israel. If you back up one verse to Daniel 9:26, you see that it says that it's the people of the prince that shall come who fight against Israel. You see, it's the Antichrist forces fighting against Israel, which makes it necessary for this peace agreement to be made in the first place. So the Antichrist will call off his forces. He's going to make peace with Israel. And President Trump, in this situation, acted as a mediator in this negotiation. He wasn't the party warring with Israel. The United States of America wasn't fighting against Israel, necessitating this peace agreement. And so we can answer very clearly, based on the context of Daniel 9:26 and Daniel 9:27, this does not fit the context. Context, context, context. Friends, we must understand what the Word of God says and handle the Scriptures accurately and appropriately. And I could even offer a second proof, if that's not enough evidence for you. Daniel 9:27, that treaty is set as a 7-year plan, a 7-year agreement. Clearly, there's no mention of 7 years in this current peace agreement. So suffice it to say, these recent events are not the fulfillment of Daniel 9:26 and 27. That does not mean they are not significant prophetically. You see, Ezekiel 38, verses 10 to 14 especially, it states that Israel is going to dwell in peace and safety when this coalition of nations attacks. Could this current peace treaty that we have just witnessed lead to greater peace and safety in Israel? Could Hamas members now scatter to these nations that are mentioned in Ezekiel 38 as they lick their wounds and build new partnerships, new alliances that could attack Israel once more, just as prophesied in these two chapters, Ezekiel 38 and 39? I think that certainly could be a prophetic possibility. Now, this is another interesting point that I want to mention. Did you realize that there is no mention of allies rushing to Israel's defense in Ezekiel 38 and 39? What's happened to the United States of America when this prophecy is fulfilled? I can think of two possible explanations for America's absence. It could be rapture or rebellion. And I believe that America could be witnessing signs of spiritual awakening, especially since the death of Charlie Kirk. There's a prayerful optimist within me that believes America could see another great move of God in our generation before the rapture of the church. God has burdened many people to pray for America for decades, and it seems that God is stirring in our world today. And it seems like God is forcing people to decide, are you with me or are you against me? The days of remaining neutral are quickly departing this world. This present moment is a gift from Almighty God, allowing us to be ready for the rapture so that we aren't here to witness this future wars and the destruction, the likes of which planet Earth has not seen since the days of Noah and the flood that came upon this planet. Friends, I urge you, take advantage of this moment. Become a follower of Jesus today, if you are not already.
Our brand new calendar is here. This year, our calendar theme is Beyond the Veil. Created by Marginal Mysteries host Micah Van Hus, the Beyond the Veil 2026 calendar includes stunning imagery, a guide for reading through the Bible in a year, the major Jewish holidays, and of course, a special Get One, Give Two. That means each calendar ordered provides two free calendars for incarcerated individuals through our prison ministry. This calendar, with its one-of-a-kind images, is perfect for daily encouragement, Bible study inspiration, or as a meaningful gift. Order your Beyond the Veil calendar today. Call 800-652-1144. That's 800-652-1144. You can also order at swrc.com. Really, friends, this year's calendar is truly one that you don't want to miss out on. 800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Donald Perkins will continue his series, Understanding Revelation. So be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. To learn more, visit our website, swrc.com.